You're listening to the DW Podcast, insightful conversations on life, love, and leadership. What's up, friends? Dwayne Hawkins here. I am your host of the DW Podcast. Grateful that you all are chiming in with us today. Let me say that this is the official, very first DW Podcast episode. And yes, there are many more episodes on this podcast thread. If you look back, they date all the way back to 2019 on some of them. But I'm going to tell you why this is the first official. It's the first official because we got with us and will have with us for like the rest of these conversations. The one and only, my ace, my bestie love, Wendy Ann Hawkins. What's up, babe?
Hey, y'all. I did not expect you to say my whole name.
No?
No.
Now the whole world knows, right?
Yeah, now they can look me up.
No, not the whole world. The whole world ain't gonna listen to this, but anyway.
Yeah, hope.
Anyway, how are you, though? How are you doing tonight? We're recording this in the evening time, by the way.
In the evening. On a whim.
Yep.
Really good. Really good.
Yeah. What's good? It's a good coaching question we always ask. We ask that of our kids.
What's good?
Yeah. When they say, when our kids come home from school, we'll ask them, how was your day? And they'll always just say good, right?
Right.
And then we'll ask them to define
what is good.
What's good. So yeah. So what's good?
Good is, I think good for me is even keel. I'm a very high and low person all day long. I can start low and have a high in 5 minutes of starting my day.
Yes.
But yeah, good is like middle ground. I'm not high. I'm not low. It's nice out. It's 83 degrees.
Yep.
Sitting in a parking lot.
Yep. Full transparency.
Having a conversation with my husband.
Legit.
So yeah, legit. Good. Waiting on these kids.
Right.
Always.
Right. Right. You know, man, I'm glad that you shared that we are sitting in a parking lot in our car waiting on our kids because our kids are at this event. It's like a local ordeal that they're all at right now. And we didn't feel like driving back home. Because it's like a 30 minute drive. So it's like, why waste the gas? Stay out here. And so I thought that maybe I might have some time to record. And ladies and gentlemen, shout out to my wife for being like, well, let's just go sit in the car and let's actually record. Let's just have a conversation. And this is something that we've been talking about doing for a while, right? I think this is a good lesson. If I can just take away a lesson for myself in this, is that sometimes you don't have the perfect setup, right? Or the perfect format. All you have is a tool in your hand and an opportunity. And legit, we got a mic, a good mic, by the way.
Very good mic.
An iPad and the two of us.
Right. You know? A relatively empty parking lot.
Yep. Probably one of the better soundproof ordeals too, because we're doing it in our car,
right?
You know,
let's and just so, hope we don't sweat because the windows are up.
Really? So yeah, I think at the 100th episode we will be able to look back and talk about this story, right? This moment. That it really is all about just take the step of starting.
Right.
Doesn't matter. Just take the step of starting.
Right.
So, So just so you guys know, you probably hear it on the intro, life, leadership, and love, life, love, and leadership. I think it's life, love, and leadership. These are kind of really the three focal points that all of our conversations will center on, revolve around. You guys will get to hear just sort of like our perspective. We don't feel like we're experts or we're gurus or we have all the answers. But one thing is true. Stories help people heal. Stories help people grow. Stories inspire people. And we do have an audience through our coaching company and those that we have had the privilege of serving. And so a large part of this is really just taking what's in our hands, who the Lord has made us to be, and just sowing seeds and putting what's inside of us out there. And if it's beneficial, if it's fruitful, if it is valuable to you, right, then take it, lean in, let it be a blessing, let it create advantage in your life. And if it's not, you know, then wish us well and keep it pushing. So babe, what's your hope for these conversations? You know, as you think through them right now, this being our first one, obviously, but just kind of peer into the future. What do you hope, comes out of these conversations for other people?
I think it's both, and it's giving what God has put inside of us. I believe we're a very generous couple, generous family. And I think part of what we've constantly heard people say is, you guys should do a podcast. That conversation should have been recorded.
It's true.
Or can you repeat that again? And in some way, shape, or form, when it's recorded, anybody and everybody can go back and listen to that intuitive conversation that we just had on a whim and someone just happened to be listening in on it.
Yeah.
So I think this is taking the first step of all of our intuitive, in the moment, on a whim conversations that turn into a lot of wisdom, and between the both of us combined and what we've learned, what we feel like God's put inside of us. And so, yeah, so take it or leave it. I feel like it'll benefit parents. Yeah. I feel like they can learn something from us from a place of what not to do and maybe what to do. Yeah. So we're not perfect. I'd say we're very transparent and willing. That's a word we've been using a lot.
Right.
Willing to have these conversations to spark something in another couple, in another family, and another parent dynamic, or business, or leadership. So,
Totally. That's good. All right. We really only got three hinges, just three kind of focal points that we'll walk through, and then we'll just see how this goes. Fair enough. But
literally, let's see how this goes is accurate, because I have no idea what he's about to say, you guys. Like, none. None whatsoever.
All right, so I'll set it up. It's three questions on life, love, and leadership, right? And I think just to give some perspective. So here's the first question, all right? Life. And you guys will see there's a coaching undertone to the way I ask questions all the time. So what comes to mind when you think of empowering people in life?
What comes to mind when I think of empowering people in life?
Yeah.
I think authenticity.
Okay.
I think emotions. I think of vulnerability. I think they can be mistaken as the same, but I think there's a difference between being authentic and vulnerable.
Yeah.
And in order to empower somebody, you have to win their hearts. You have to win space in their life. And in order to do that, you have to be willing to be vulnerable with your own life, with your own struggles or highs and lows, both. So you can't empower people that you haven't won.
Yeah.
And in order to win people, they have to know you. They have to trust you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh. Mouthful.
Yeah.
Mouthful. Authenticity. Emotion. Vulnerability. Winning people, right? Yeah. In order to speak into their lives. And the way you win people is winning their trust, but through your own narrative, through your own vulnerability. It's good. I think a lot of those, all of what you said, it seems like that at some level we all probably desire, right? Authenticity. We desire being in relationships, whether work, professional or personal, relationships where there's freedom of emotion, healthy mm-hmm. emotion, mm-hmm. even if that healthy emotion is pain mm-hmm. or frustration or irritation. And obviously on the other side of the coin as well, happiness, joy, pleasure, emotion. But we also want to experience relationships where a life where vulnerability is a norm.
Right.
Right? It's a norm. And so I definitely think when I hear you say what comes to mind when you think about empowering people in life, it's like, how can we empower you all that are listening to this to choose vulnerability, to choose authenticity, to choose healthy emotional postures? Whether you are a CEO of a $1 billion company, which those are things that we'll definitely lean into in later episodes, or you're a single mom, right? With 1, 2, or 3 kids, and you're just trying to figure out how to raise healthy human beings. Mm-hmm. I think when you think about life, how can I genuinely be my most authentic self? How can I be a person of healthy emotional engagement? And how can I be a person who lives from a place of true vulnerability?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What about... How do you see vulnerability play out in your life right now?
I think vulnerability right now shows up the most in parenting. Hmm. Parenting, well, let me not say that. There's just a very recent scenario that I can speak to. But if I table that for a moment, vulnerability for me is admitting in all areas that I don't have it together.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I'm speaking to CEOs, when I'm speaking to business owners, and coaching them as a semi-expert in whatever field that we're speaking on.
Right.
Or in leadership, right? There's a point in which I am no longer the expert.
Yeah.
And I have to admit that. Being the one that's being paid to be there to consult, yeah, right? To yeah, coach, to yeah. bring up your people. Like, I have to be vulnerable enough to say, hey, this is not an area I'm well versed in. Let me get back to you.
Right.
That's a lot of pride to set aside. I don't know about you, but for me.
I mean, yeah. No, I mean, especially if you're getting paid.
Right, right. Like, some, your income's tied to it, right? Like, bro, I'm about to tell this lady I have no idea.
Right. You know? Right, right.
Or a dude, whoever.
Right,
so,
right.
There's that. And I think that also ties into parenting. I frequently tell our kids,
yes,
I really don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. And let's be honest, we don't.
No.
We don't.
No.
We've never had these kids at this time in this age with these sets of circumstances.
Yes, that's good.
Nobody has experienced any child
totally
the exact same way in the same season.
Yep.
You can have five kids and they're all going to be different.
Yep.
You're going to be different.
Yep.
I'm different as a parent, you know? So I think being vulnerable enough to say, hey, I don't get it. I don't understand. I got nothing to say. The best I can do is point them to Jesus. The best I can do is say, at the end of the day, your decisions or mine, with whatever influences their life, choose Jesus. That's the best I can give my kids.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very vulnerable place to be as someone in authority.
Yeah.
You know, it's vulnerable to be in that place when you're hired to do a specific job to say, I don't know.
Right.
Because you're risking something, right?
Right.
You're risking not being the expert, not having the job, maybe getting fired, whatever.
Right. Right.
And then as a parent, there's this undercurrent belief that you have to know it all. You know, you're the authority figure, and so you should have it together.
Right.
Which is a complete lie.
Right.
And then, and on life, like, I think vulnerability is where people find safety with me.
Hmm. That's good. That's good. Even as I hear that, I can't help but think, like, pride comes up. And it's like, wait, but they're supposed to know that we have it together. Like, why in the world would they pay you, right, if it's professional? Or why in the world would they listen to you and trust you if it's personal,
right?
You know? And contrary to popular belief, obviously, because we spend about 95% of our life together.
Minus bathroom trips, that's probably about it, huh?
Yeah, right.
Which that seems to be changing because we're in the bathroom more.
98%. I think you're warming up to it.
No, you are.
But contrary to popular belief, right? Like, this notion of vulnerability has actually not been a negative for us. It hasn't.
No.
It's not proven to be something that has been pulled, like a rug being pulled out from under us. It's not resulted in a negative consequence or anything in that regard. But it's actually built on the professional side of the coin. Vulnerability, it's built a greater level of trust with those that we've been able to work with, those that we've been able to serve, where and kind of maybe, like, if you could say, you know, there is the wisdom that says that your gift will make room for you. So that gift of being vulnerable has actually opened up more business opportunity for us, right? Because folks that we get to work with, there's this element of trust,
right?
You know, there's this element of deep relational connection,
right?
Like, even almost to the point to where, like, it's been said, like, you guys are family,
right?
You know what I mean? And it's a business relationship, right?
Right.
But there's this depth of connection and communion that happens through that gift of vulnerability. And then on the personal side of the coin, right? Like, it remains to be seen with our kids, right? We believe that, you know, we're not parenting our kids for today, but we're parenting them for tomorrow when they're 25, 35, 45, right? And so it remains to be seen until then. But there is the beauty through our vulnerability of always being able to come back and have those conversations with them.
Yeah.
If you think about it, right? Like,
yeah,
we are able to have good, healthy, solid conversations with our kids over and over and over again.
Right.
And while behavior may not necessarily change immediately in the moment, I don't know that we've experienced, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this some more, I don't know that we've experienced with our kids this notion of shutting us out and just not being willing to sit and hear the wisdom, hear the love through conversation, hear the advice, all because of this gift of vulnerability that we try to serve them with.
I think the key part of what you said is not immediate behavior change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think that's the trap in with parenting, is we assume that whatever we do, whatever input we have, should equate to behavioral change.
Right.
Vulnerability is legit a long game. Yeah. It's such a long game.
That's good.
Long game being like, we could have the conversation today and you don't hear, see, or know that it's actually made an impact until 6 months later, when you're having a conversation about some hindsight event, and then you're like, whoa, did my kid really just repeat what I said 6 months ago, but with their own words,
right,
as their own belief,
right,
and something that they now abide by.
Yeah.
You know, and that's true change. Because here's the thing, I could tell them all the time, hey, like, you should probably not listen to explicit music, blah, 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 blah. Say all this stuff, right? What are they going to do? Just not listen to it in front of me.
Right, 100%.
They're just going to put headphones on or listen to it when they're not home, blah, blah, blah. Tell them why, coach them through why.
Yeah.
Start explaining the mental, social, emotional, spiritual aspects of it. And 6 months down the line, they're going, why does this music make me feel this way? Or they're looking at, this just happened recently, they're starting to boycott certain musicians because the things and the lyrics and what's behind the music.
Right.
And that's not something we actually told them to do.
Right.
We just had the conversation with them to say, hey, that's probably not the best, but fill in the blank, right? Having that conversation. So vulnerability in parenting takes forever. I mean, some of the stuff we're probably not going to see the fruit of until they're 35 years old with their first kid or two.
Right.
Or they're married.
Right.
And then we're going to hear it.
Right.
So if you're looking for immediate 5 steps to changing your child, this ain't it. But if you want a kid that genuinely accepts what you're saying as a new way of thinking for themselves.
Yeah.
Vulnerability, I believe, is the way to go.
Yeah. You are loving, right? As a parent, you are loving and serving a human being and not a robot.
Yeah.
They're not computers that we can create an algorithm or whatnot and put it on a chip and insert the chip into them, right? And they're just going to like pump out behaviors that align with the way we think they should go. I think
that would be nice only when they need to do chores. That would be amazing. If there was just like a setting where you can just be like, this is chore time.
I mean, maybe that, right? Maybe that. I mean, chores, there's no...
Hopefully Elon Musk is not listening to this and decides to create something.
Hey, some of us would probably buy into that. Some of us would.
I should patent it.
Chip your kid for chores, guys. Chip your kid for chores. No. But that is the trap, right? The behavioral modification trap. And I believe what our culture needs today, especially from us as parents, is developing and loving and serving our kids from a place of their heart, right? Their soul, their mind, the way they think, helping them process and discern, right? Helping them process and discern how they feel about certain things. Not just saying, hey, that's bad, you shouldn't do it, but let's have a very healthy conversation around, let's give you some why around this. Let's ask you some questions around what's that doing for you? What do you actually think about that, right? What actually comes up as you engage that? And I think what, to your point, it is allowing them to kind of really own their own journey.
Right.
I remember this one, I was a grown man. I was sitting, I was in a restaurant with my dad up in Washington. And it was a decision I had needed to make. I think it was about whether or not moving to California or whatnot at that time. And I ended up telling my dad, like, yo, dad, yeah, I'm going to come down and do ministry with you, yada, yada, yada. And my dad was like, I already knew you were going to. I was like, really? And my question to him was like, well, why didn't you just say something? Like, this could have been, we could have been doing this years ago. And I'm sharing this story because the statement, his response that he gave, I think is the undercurrent of our parental conversation that we're having right now around vulnerability, right? Here's what he says. He says, Dwayne, some things are best discovered rather than delegated.
Right. Yep. Yep.
Right? Some yep. things are best discovered than delegated. We as parents, right? Like you said earlier, we got the authority. We could delegate all day long to our kids. Mm-hmm. All day long to our kids. Mm-hmm. And on some things we need to, mm-hmm. right? Some things we need to. Let's be clear about that. Some things we need to. But especially when we're talking about 13 years old and older, when they're in that abstract phase, mm-hmm. That phase of fighting for autonomy, needing right. to learn healthy independence,
right?
Right? They should be maturing and moving on from childhood. Mm-hmm. That's when we need to back off of the delegation and start moving into creating frameworks that help them discover, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Appropriate discovery mm-hmm. of the right things in life. And so, yeah, shout out to Timothy Hawkins. Dad, right? Some things are best discovered than they are delegated. Because if you discover it, you own it.
Right. Yep.
Right? Like, yep. it's yours. It was your experience. Mm-hmm. Right? It was your, like, aha moment that you had mm-hmm. that caused you to embrace a truth, you know, a nugget of wisdom that was probably sown into you mm-hmm. months ago.
Right. I mean, even as adults, we don't like being told what to do.
100%. Yep.
So.
Yep.
All the more.
Yep.
All the more.
Yep. This is good. This is good.
Thanks for listening. For more resources, check us out at tdhcoaching.com.